Following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2023, and we are officially 3 weeks out, 21 days to the NFL Draft in Detroit, Michigan, as we welcome you in to the Draft Show presented by Miller Lite, a taste you can depend on. We are running out of time, everybody, as the draft is quickly approaching. 30 visits currently happening across the hallway from where we sit here at the Star in Frisco. And, of course, we've got plenty to talk about with some positional resets today. We've got Aisha Morrison, Brian Broaddus, Bobby Belt back in the fold today. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Bobby, welcome back to the show.
Good
to
see you.
You were pretty busy. Headphones.
I have headphones on. I don't normally get the headphones because I'm usually posted up right here. And I also feel like completely inconsistent because I got the Plano East hat on today.
I like it.
But then I've got Marcus shorts.
All right,
I've got competing high schools on here, and then I'm gonna go watch Keller softball tomorrow.
Are you really?
Yeah,
big Keller softball.
They invited us out. They were like, cool. "Hey, we got a big game against Southlake. Would you guys mind coming out?" I was like, "Sure, I'll go." So I'm going to see Keller High School softball tomorrow.
Man of the people.
That's what I try to be.
Yeah, you are that.
It's about casting a wide net, Brian.
I'm about to say that. Yeah,
it's funny. I've
that among other things.
I've had phone calls with some of the admin with Tarleton State. And they talked about you guys and your impact with you and Choppy and all of the trips out to Stephenville.
I left a negative impact in a lot of ways in Stephenville, I think. But it was a party. It was a good time.
Got the people talking.
Hey, I enjoyed it. I love Tarleton. Go Texans.
Stephenville, greatest place on God's green earth.
There you go. Cowboy country. Real cowboy country.
It is real cowboy country, no doubt about it. I'll be out there Sunday for baseball, by the way.
You want to make a
trip?
It'll
be fun. You want to come out?
Maybe. What do we got going on? It's Saturday, I got a party. Friday, I got softball. Sunday, nothing's filling. Oh, wait, I may have actually have Mavericks tickets. Rockets.
Oh, okay. That takes priority.
I love Tarleton.
Yeah.
Big Tarleton.
Tarleton baseball.
Yeah. You guys want to coordinate some other thing going on here?
I mean, you want to go with us? You're all about road trips?
No. I do love feats of strength, though. Yeah. I do love it. I'd like driving to the Senior Bowl.
I know. You want to make those like 13-hour drives all the way through.
Beam and I we're all about the feats of strength, guys.
I'm going to let y'all have
Oh, yeah. Of course we are.
All the driving, all the
You give us
trips.
An RV, we will take it anywhere you want us
Absolutely.
To go.
I've been trying to talk brass into having the RV trips for the last 4 years.
At this point.
It hasn't happened yet.
I think the RV trip would be fun if you covered a couple of really prominent pro days.
Oh yeah,
sure.
You know, if you actually were able there to go in there and you hit Alabama and then you hit Georgia or you know hit something in the South. You know, you could do. We did Texas and Texas A&M one time, which was really cool when Johnny Manziel was involved and. You get a lot of really good information being out there on the road.
Do you run routes for Johnny?
No, I stood behind the barrier and watched him throw routes.
Yeah, to people who were not even receivers necessarily.
He may have to run routes
Christy
for
Kirk.
No, that was the Johnny one. Remember, that's his agent Eric Burkhart was running around doing routes for him.
You're right about that. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Brian's gonna have to run routes for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills pretty soon
too.
How about that? They don't have anything going on out there,
man.
Well, that might be a good thing for you, Dallas Cowboys, if you think about that.
A trade up.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about these wide receivers since January. You know, it might be where people are going to, and I know we're going to get into the depth of positions, but that might be something you keep an eye on.
No doubt. The trade yesterday, Stephon Diggs going to the Texans, and really, now you've got Buffalo that is pigeonholed into taking a first round wide receiver. And if they want to move up a couple of spots, I think that would be a significant trade down option for the Cowboys. Speaking on the Cowboys, though, reported 30 visits. We talked through a number of names on Tuesday. A couple other names that have come out since then. This is straight off of Nick Harris's Twitter. Nick not here today. He's across the hall doing an interview. But we've got some names to go through. Matt Gonclaves from Pittsburgh, the offensive tackle. We talked about some of these linebackers, including Nathaniel Watson, Jordan McGee, Peyton Wilson, which was reported by Brian, Edgerrin Cooper, Trevin Wallace from Kentucky. Then you've got Byron Murphy, reported by Ryan Fowler, the Texas defensive tackle, Rasheen Ali. Is it Ali?
Ali. Right?
Yeah, Ali.
The Marshall running back, reported by our very own Dane Brugler. And then Malachi Corley, wide receiver out of Western Kentucky. That one comes from CBS. But when you're looking at these names, Aisha, which ones stick out to you of the names that were reported this past week?
I don't know if he's going to be there, but I think Byron Murphy sticks out to me. And yeah. And only the reason why is because he's a local. He's from here. And I think we've seen the Cowboys have a little bit of an infatuation with some of the guys that are local. You think about even a Tyler Smith. He's a Fort Worth native. And seeing him, you know, become somebody that maybe they're interested in. I was also interesting about Malachi Corley, how he's really risen his stock this offseason and how he's been able to kind of climb people's boards and get people's attention, especially coming from a school like Western Kentucky. I think it just says a lot about his progress and what he's capable of as a player. Because if you don't have him pretty high on your board right now, you probably a little wrong. So, those two gentlemen stand out the most to me. What you got, Bobby?
Corley is the one, because Corley, I mean, obviously we see a lot of different like running backs and offensive linemen and different people that they've brought in, different positions that they've brought in. Corley being the only receiver on the list in a very deep class, I think is interesting to me. Whether that's because it stands out as somebody that they're really, really high on, or potentially just that's somebody they feel they need answers on compared to the rest of the draft class. But I mean, I love Malachi Corley.
He's fun.
And in fact, he's receiver, we talked about this, Brian, I think like seven. He's receiver seven for me.
Wow.
And second round. So I really like Malachi Corley and think he's a whole lot of fun. And I think within this offense, he could do a lot of damage. And so he's really interesting to me. I love that one. And then obviously, I mean, the fact that they're bringing in somebody like Peyton Wilson and just, you know, being able to get a check on the medicals there and everything else.
That's definitely why they brought him in. Yeah. They definitely was like, let us get our people.
Extra peek. Extra peek at Peyton Wilson. I love Malachi Corey. Corley. I don't know if he's necessarily a top 10 receiver in the draft for me. I can't put him against like Worthy and McConkie, Coleman, Leggett, Roman Wilson, Pearsall. These are all guys that I think are in the same conversation.
Man, I have him on top of all those guys.
I really have him on top of all of them.
He is the Yak King.
McConkie.
Yeah.
They call him the Yak King. I worry about the size a little bit.
I'll tell you what, this son of a gun, though, man, but he has got a running back's mentality, the way he carries the ball. And, like, you throw him the ball, he is going to run through people, run over people. You know, he's a tough guy. And so, to me, and but you're talking about all those names of the guys you had, they've all got that trait. I'm sure they're on everybody's board. Everybody has Corley, McConkie from Georgia, Worthy from Texas, Pearsall from Florida. He's is fun. A fun watch.
Yes.
You know, Roman Wilson from Michigan. They're all kind of the same in that regard of throwing the ball, big play.
Which is going to be helpful to me. When you look, a lot of these guys to me are chess pieces, I guess you can say, and also too, they can be an extension of your backfield in certain ways. Like when you mention, okay, like he can do running back things, you can use these guys in the screen game, you can use these guys on the outside and do some creative things with them. A lot of these gentlemen, to include Malachi, like they're not just I'm a wide receiver. No, you can use them in certain different elements, and a lot of them have the ability to play inside and outside. Mm-hmm. And so this class is, it's crazy because last year was my first time doing a draft, obviously, but to see the difference in this class and last year's class, where I felt like there weren't that many of these guys in that draft. And if there was a guy like these guys, they went early and people got a hold of them really quickly.
Yeah. And when you're talking about Malachi Corley specifically, it's the limited route tree, which is a knock against them. Mm-hmm. Western Kentucky didn't really utilize him well.
It was the utilization to me.
WKU didn't use him in that way. They said, chuck it up, go make a big play, have fun, run past everybody and be the Yak King is what they called him at Western Kentucky. But you mentioned inside-outside versatility. I think he's limited to the slot. Mm. Do you think he could play outside if you're going to put him up there?
I think that a lot of what he does here, like when we talk about the limited route tree and stuff like that, it's because a lot of his game is going to be, like, you know, just quick, get the ball in his hands. And so, I mean, whether that's smoke routes on the outside or whatever it is, I think he can become a better route runner than he currently is. I think he's a good route runner, but I think there's definitely room for improvement. And to me, the biggest thing with him and something that he'll see on the outside a lot too is is he always finishing, you know, contested catches? Mm-hmm. Is the 50-50 stuff breaking his way? And right. a lot of times it's not. And so if you get somebody who's particularly sticky, somebody who's playing, you know, really physical with him, that can slow him down at times. That's why, I mean, that's honestly the thing that keeps him from being like a first-round receiver for me.
Yeah.
But I really like the growth potential for him.
How do you navigate that? Like, and I'm asking as far as, when you look at a program and you look at usage, how do you guys, I'm asking you guys, like, how do you navigate seeing that a guy's usage or the way that they played him within a system, how does that tie into some of your decisions on where you rank him? Because to your point, we clearly know that Western Kentucky is not doing a whole bunch of exotic things offensively.
Yeah.
How do you guys be like, okay, well, I can see this guy doing this, this, this. What steps do you take to evaluate that?
I mean, I think you can see just about anything you want to see in flashes. It's obviously just the sample size. Like how much of a sample size do you have? So then it's the application of, okay, what am I projecting out in terms of the flashes that I have or the limited available data, and then also putting it in some cases against athletic testing or whatever else, and then combine it and saying, well, I think you can do this. Schoonmaker, for instance, was a guy who was not asked to do a lot of the things that you would have wanted him to do here in Dallas, in Michigan. And so you just found flashes of it, and then you tried to say, okay, you know, the athletic testing with the 3-cone and the 10-yard splits and other little things, like, how do you couple that and say, well, I think I can project out that he can do these things here. I assume that he can do this. Or in flashes, you see it here. Or in small sample size, you see it here. So, I mean, it's just a projection. It's the same thing we used to run into. The guy I always think of where it's like, you're having to project out is Corey Coleman. Like, that Coleman was a guy like that coming out of Baylor, where it's like at Baylor, who's not asked to do very much, and
the
you
routes
had to,
were really limited.
You had to project out a little bit.
Yeah.
Similarly, you had to project out on a guy like the best player in football. Now, you had to project out with Mahomes. Like, there were questions about, like, what was Mahomes going to be asked to do at the NFL level, and was he capable of it? And that's some of that stuff you're not going to know, and that's why scouts are scouts,
that's
and why
fair.
They're paid to do what they do. We're projecting out a lot more than what their research in-house shows.
Man, I watched him play against Ohio State.
He was good in that game.
And I'm thinking, like, okay, if he's playing good against Ohio State, who puts 25 guys in the NFL every year, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of got that with watching that quarterback last year, Ohio State, you know, when they played Georgia, you know, all the matchups and stuff like
Stroud,
that.
Yeah.
So the competition is something you
use
as well?
I think it's something because, you know, like I say, Louisiana Tech, Florida Atlantic, sure. But Ohio State, you hunt those games.
Yeah.
You hunt those games. And, you know,
you remember Rashawn Slater against Chase Young? That was a game. Like, you measure that. You go, okay, what did Slater look like when he got Chase Young across from him and he handled him?
Yeah. See, I grew up in a system where it was always about the Florida State Miami game was always huge in the early 90s. And that was like the first tape you started with. When either team, you're like, okay, good on good here. And then if you get a small school guy, unfortunately, he goes to the Senior Bowl. Then you start to look at the drills there, and you're like, okay, how does he handle the drills, you know, Western Kentucky getting covered by Michigan or getting covered by Alabama and
he was named the top receiver
in
the Senior Bowl.
In a blender.
You know, I think we could all say this about Deron Bland now, and I've said it before, and I believe you guys would agree with me because you guys study tape just as hard as I do. The Pac-12 missed Deron Bland.
Oh,
went to school at Fresno.
Sure.
Nothing against Fresno. Sometimes these kids end up in places and you're like, how do you end up at Western Kentucky?
Yeah.
You know, why wasn't Vanderbilt in on this? Why wasn't Kentucky in on this? Why wasn't Tennessee in on this one? You know, and sometimes you have to question that. But I look at him and Kyle, you asked the question about slot only. His measurements are 5'11", 215.
Mm-hmm. He's wide.
I mean, I'm thinking like, just get him the damn ball. I don't care how. Yeah. You know, that's how, I mean, it's coaches' jobs to figure this out.
That's
and if you're saying inside only and all, I'm like, cool.
You can still get him the ball, though.
But get him the damn ball.
Yeah.
I mean, Aisha, put him in the backfield. Bobby, put him out wide. You know, but when you watch the tape of this guy, I can understand why the Cowboys did this or bringing him in. This kid's got a lot of toughness. And for the last couple of playoffs, they've dealt with having that guy in San Francisco. You're starting to see more of that.
Yeah.
You're starting to see more of these receivers that they're big, they catch, and they're like running backs in the open field just blistering people.
He mentioned Deebo Samuel in his Senior Bowl interviews at the same time.
That's who he gets compared to most often as like the high-end projection. And Deebo was the same. How about Leggett at
South Carolina? There's the school. There's the school. Yeah, that's the same thing. But we're starting to see college programs get these guys involved. This guy was a college. He was originally a cornerback. Mm-hmm. A cornerback. And they moved him to wide receiver. We've seen a couple of those guys get shifted to other positions, and now they're thriving that way.
Yeah. I mean, and you mentioned the Senior Bowl. Honestly, when you talk about the route running, Bobby, the Senior Bowl answers some of those questions for me about him, too, because it didn't matter. And I understand that, you know, one-on-ones that DBs are at a disadvantage in some areas, but it didn't matter who was on him in those drills. He made some of our top corners that we like look stupid. He was literally saying bye to them when he was coming out of his releases. I do think guys do have the opportunity before they go to these camps and stuff to improve. And I think he showed some things in the Senior Bowl that would make me more encouraged about his route running as well.
Yeah, and that's another part of it that is really helpful in the process of like what you're trying to project out is those drills and stuff. But like you point out, like the corners are at a disadvantage a lot of times in those drills. And like, I mean, the one that I always come back to of like, you can gain a lot from seeing it. You guys always talk about the Zach Martin, Aaron Donald matchups and what you're able to get out of that at Senior Bowl. The guy that I always go back to is like, here's a cautionary tale too of like, don't buy into it too much or weight it properly. Remember Braxton Miller?
Yeah,
Braxton Miller was considered like, oh my gosh, nobody can handle him when he, you know, he had all these highlight reel like situations against corners where it's like he was making corners mad and they're like wanting to fight him in these practices just because of his footwork and what he's doing. And then it came out and it doesn't hit the same way. So I think it's definitely like it's all part of the entire Absolutely. Information gathering process, and that's why it's such a big job. That's why, I mean, the guys in this building, they're grinding 11 months out of the year.
Like I mean
really putting in work that goes more than just this 3 months that people are really aware of it.
Right.
It's such an interesting process top to bottom, and that's why it is a process. It's not, we're not just grading off of games and film and then taking these guys into the NFL. You want an extra look along the way. Since we're talking about Corley and he's the one wide receiver that's been reported as a 30 visit, how early would you be okay with Dallas taking a wide receiver? Yeah. Would you be fine with a receiver? I know first round is more of like if a guy falls, but let's say nobody falls in the first round, where would you be okay with the first?
Can I ask a question to take it a little further?
Sure.
Would you take a running back or a receiver if they were equal?
Equal on your board?
Equal.
I think I would take a receiver.
I would take a running back. If they're even on the board, I'm taking a tailback.
Like, you got, say you have Corley as your seventh best player, Bobby.
Yeah.
And you're looking at Benson from Florida State, maybe as that.
Yeah, I mean, they're both in the second. Corley.
Yeah.
I'd take Corley. Yeah.
Why is that? Is that just the value, positional value of running back?
I just think running back is
replaceable.
It's just changed so much, like, to me, the way it's viewed. I mean, and it's particularly with this class, there are some guys, you know, in the later rounds, but this running back class to me is more top heavy in itself. So,
which is why I would take a running back early because you could maybe grab a receiver late.
I hear your argument, but I'm also like,
you're trying to run the football, you're trying to go downhill, you're building around possibly an offensive first round pick, offensive line first round pick. You want to run the rock? I would go with Trey Benson in that scenario.
I think I can scheme things up easier in the passing game for Corley with questions on the offensive line than I can scheme things up easy for Benson with questions on the offensive line.
That's fair.
Like, Benson is going to be more reliant on how much have you built up your offensive line than I feel like what you want to do with somebody like Corley.
Well, if you take a first-round pick and you feel good about your left tackle, let's say they take a tackle in the draft. You got a left tackle there.
Sure. I mean,
you feel okay with the interior at the moment.
We assume Steele is going to bounce back off of injury, but we don't know. Zach Martin is a year older. We don't know who's playing center, left guard, or left tackle yet. And so to me, it's like that's a lot to then just think, well, Trey Benson will fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Like to me, I look at Malachi Corley, I can do.
I don't know if Bijan Robinson would fix that.
I mean, you can do Arthur Smith.
He tried to in Atlanta.
You look at the in general, the way that you can scheme up and get the ball in Corley's hands and let him create in space. I think it's easier to let him create and contribute as a second round pick than it would be with Benson. But I honestly, man,
that's hard.
It's tough because you've got a lot that you still need to address at a number of positions, and you don't have a fourth round pick.
Third round receiver, third round back.
Now we're getting closer to me taking a receiver, because I think the wide receiver class stretches better than the running back class. I don't expect a Trey Benson to be there in the third round. I expect him to be gone.
But can I interest? Okay, Aisha, you got a thought on that?
You said third round receiver.
Third round running back, third round receiver, and you're talking potentially in my board. I'm looking at guys like Lloyd from USC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Wright from Tennessee. They brought in, they've reported on the 30, Allen, who I know Bobby likes more than me, and then Irving is another one from Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay, Lloyd, Wright, Allen, Irving, say Pearsall, Leggett, Roman Wilson, Walker from North Carolina, McMillan on my board.
Hmm. I have Bucky Irving in the second, so he would be the highest on my list. Okay, so I'm going to take him off of that list completely.
No, you could say...
I would take Bucky in that scenario. He's the last second-round player out of that group you just gave me.
Mm. Corley and Allen is what I would go there, because I like Allen as much as I do, so yeah. Allen in the third round. But, I mean, it's... Again, it's tough. I feel like, am I using resources, precious resources, the right way if I'm drafting two skill position players with my top three picks?
Okay, let me ask you this. Aisha made a trade with the Ravens.
Good job.
She's got Baltimore's pick to end the third round.
It's a good drafting football team.
Okay. So I was picking.
Okay, so now you've picked up, would you consider using your extra?
Do I have two twos and two threes?
You have two threes. That's it.
How did I pick up the extra third?
You moved down to 30.
Oh, okay. So picked at 30,
You went from 26 to 30, and you picked up Baltimore's pick at the end of the third round.
I've got first round, second round, and then two threes.
Right.
Two late threes.
Yeah. I mean, I could be more convinced to take a receiver and a running back in that situation, because I've addressed.
Let me ask you this question then. The extra pick that you get, what position are you going for?
Oh, my gosh. What is it, third round?
Yeah, it's going to be a third round pick. Say Dallas picks up Baltimore's pick, like we were talking about. They go get a wide receiver. They give you. But now you have that extra. Would you consider that? What would you use your extra three?
Did we take an offensive line? What did we take in the first two rounds?
You've taken offensive lineman. You've taken a running back. And at 56,
I'm going receiver.
56, you took a running back?
No. At 56, you took a running back.
Okay, so
you got 80. You got 87.
Call it Guyton and Brooks or whatever, just as an example.
That's
just
fine.
Just to work off of that. Guyton and Brooks. I honestly think if even we're sitting there in the fifth round, I think there's a decent chance you have like a fourth round graded receiver because of how deep
that's
it goes.
That's what I said. Like,
so
if he's third
I'm
round.
Going, I might double dip at offensive line and then take a safety.
I was thinking linebacker and possibly a receiver, possibly, depending on how highly graded the guy is there.
I will go receiver. So I guess my question for you guys is, how many wide receivers on this? And again, I got plenty of love for Jalen Tolbert.
Need a defensive tackle there, too.
How many?
That's what I was thinking.
How many of these wide receivers are better than what Jalen Tolbert is right now that you could get in the third round? And none of them?
I don't know what Jalen Tolbert is right now. That's the problem.
Boom, pal.
I would take Pearsall, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take Leggett, South Carolina.
I'd love that fit.
Man.
I'm asking.
Now I'm struggling. Roman Wilson, Walker from North Carolina, and McMillan from Washington. I think I might take Roman Wilson and McMillan. Even though I have Walker higher.
Over, like, I just jumped
to tag, which I would never do. But I just, in my mind, I'm like, I think every one of my third round guys I would surely consider as opposed to Tolbert.
Yeah.
Just from what I've seen so far.
Well, and you can get a guy that's a different player than Tolbert, too. Xavier Leggett is a deep play threat. He's your Michael Gallup.
And they grabbed Tolbert in the third, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
88th overall.
And that's why I asked.
Yeah.
But you mentioned DT as an option for that.
Yeah, for that extra pick.
How do you guys feel about that? Because I'm not going to – I think it does – there is a drop
Third
and
round
DT after about that early fourth. A huge drop in the game.
You've got Murphy, Newton, Sweat, Jenkins, Oro, Fisk at the top. And then after that, here are my 3-4 guys. I've got Dwayne Carter from Duke, Michael Hall Jr. from Ohio State, Brandon Dorlus from Oregon, Makai Wingo from LSU, the guy that Brian loves more than anybody, Mason Smith out of LSU.
Aisha made me love him that much.
Yeah. McKinley Jackson from A&M is an interesting thought there.
Where's Golston playing?
See, I think
he's going to move him back to edge. I can see Zim moving him back to edge.
Zimmer wants to be big on the defensive line, and so that would make more sense to have him on the edge than say, like, let's hybrid him inside. But, I mean, to me, it's like,
I think that extra pick has to be a defensive tackle.
I wouldn't mind it.
Jackson
from Texas A&M would be my guy there.
There's so many things that they could use to build depth right now that a part of me, and it may not be the best approach, but a part of me says Mozzie needs to just figure it out. Like you need Mozzie and Osa to figure it out. Like, you've spent the resources there. I don't want to sink more resources when I got other. Like, to me, it's like, hey, that,
I think
there was
Osa's figured it
Osa,
out.
Osa's biggest thing is he just wears down. Yeah, Osa's thing is just fatigue at the end of the year, it feels like. Yeah. But to me, it's like Osa and Mozzie should be enough. Mozzie needs to just – it needs to click this year. I'd say, hey, we made that evaluation. We picked him over a premium position at offensive line. Yeah. We went ahead and did that. We need to trust the evaluation. We need to trust the coaching staff to get the guy ready.
Hmm.
Which I think they're capable of.
Would you classify a late third round pick as of general resources?
Especially
with it being
a second, third?
You don't have a four. That's got to be an important pick.
I count a top 100 pick without a fourth rounder, especially. That needs to be somebody who's going to come in here and play.
I think there are a few guys that you can get late, though. Like, if we're going to take your route, Bobby, and be like, let's trust, then if they do that, then I think...
Trust who, though?
You said trust Mozzie and the coaching staff to get him ready. I do think he can improve. I'm just like, do you have the luxury of depending on that right now?
You don't have a lot of luxuries in general building this roster right now. And so that's one of them that you're going to have to count on is a guy you picked in the first round a year ago.
So maybe you just pick DT later. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, or go value shopping. Go in the $1.99 bin at the DVDs. Like, I mean, that's what you got to do.
What do you guys have Keith Rudolph Jr., Illinois, on your board?
Deeper. I've got him as like a sixth.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm asking because if you're going to wait, then you're talking about
Talk to me about what you saw in him.
I see a 3-tech, sometimes a 5-tech. They move him around and things like that.
He's next to Newton, too.
Yeah, so and I've mentioned that before. Do we consider who they're playing against? Because that, especially in that interior, because it does change how people defend you or how people play against you. But anyway, he wins with power, leverage. He has heavy hands. I think he gets quick penetration. He finds the ball well. Like, you can see sometimes he can't get there, but he's locating the ball quickly. He's high effort. He's disruptive. I think if you are going to talk about maybe waiting later and like a McKinley Jackson's gone or some of those guys are gone, that maybe he is a gentleman that you take a look at, or like a Jaden Crumby.
I'm digging on this one. And I was going to ask you about Hall from from Baylor.
Yeah, Michael Hall.
Where do you play? Michael is at Ohio State.
There's too many.
Yeah, there's two Halls.
In the spirit.
Okay, Gabe Hall, I was going to ask you about that, because where do you play Gabe Hall Baylor? Is he a 3 or is he a 1?
I'd put him as a 3. He's tall, linky.
6'6", 291, something like that.
Yeah, he's a Waller, Texas native. I know that makes him
You can stand
happy.
Him up on the edge.
I have him as a 3.
Okay. That's what I was. I was struggling, and I know you were busy doing work. I was like, please help me. I sent the bat signal up, and you were like.
he's very explosive. I like me some Gabe Hall. You guys think he's going to fall?
I think he might fall
because people don't know what he is just yet. Like, he's such a wild card, but, yo, the motor and the pursuit is just out of this world. Like, he shows some patience in the run game as well. He has a really lean frame. He's not a pretty player. That's what
I say.
And that might deter some people, he's not pretty.
Yeah.
But he's gonna tussle every time he's in there. So I like him too later if you do decide to go Bobby's route and trust.
You know who he reminds me of, Brian? A couple years ago. You remember Logan Hall?
Logan, yeah.
He was a Houston edge rusher, but was kind of a tweener. Could have been in three tech if you really wanted to. He kind of fizzled out. Wasn't really the guy that you would think.
I think Crumdy is, how do you say that?
Crumdy.
I think he's the same way.
From Mississippi State?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's 6'4", he's 301. I've seen him play inside. I've seen him play over the center. I've seen him play as a three. So, I don't know, man. This guy's played a ton of games. I just don't – I'm hunting a one, and I can't find him.
Is it McKinley Jackson? Is that your guy?
For me, it is. If you're talking about if you don't go for Fisk and you don't have the opportunity to get Sweat.
It's hard to find true ones because so many of these guys are developing as these tweeners, as these guys that can help rush the passer. Because I even think about a Christian Boyd in Northern Iowa who is stout build, lots of penetration, can take on double teams and things like that. But where he really wins is that initial step and him being speedy. Can he take on double teams? Yes. Does he have the balance and the core strength to do it? Absolutely. But we've started seeing this in this last couple of years is that, baby, out of the whole draft is about 3-4 ones and everybody else is this tweener, and I think that's appealing to a lot of coaches because they want pass rush, but you're seeing that that hinder their run defense capabilities well and said. What you're asking them to do. So it's like, I guess it's something we just kind of adjust to, Big Doug. Like, I don't know. What do you guys think is going to happen if we're looking at a diminishing number of nose tackles in the league? Are teams just going to keep taking advantage of it from
they're going to turn back to a run-heavy team.
These offensive linemen, these linemen are mammoths.
Yeah.
They're getting bigger, it feels like, and the defensive interior is getting smaller.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's all cyclical. And so that's, it is. It's one of those.
I'm cyclic of, like, not finding a one.
I know. And that's what I'm saying is that, like, I mean, look, linebackers have gotten lighter and lighter and faster and faster. Like, it's not LaVon Kirkland running around at linebacker anymore.
No.
And so because of that, I mean, they'll, I mean, any of the Pittsburgh linebackers from the mid 90s, you could pick Jason Gildon, whoever. Yeah. The smaller that the linebackers get, the bigger that these offense, it's going to start making a comeback, the run game. The power run game is going to make a comeback. And then you're going to start seeing the development of more one techniques and bigger linebackers. Yeah. And it's just going to, it's this endless cycle. It's just reactionary.
It's a pass heavy league. It'll go back to a run heavy league. And then it'll go back to a pass. It'll go back and forth.
It's like basketball, man. In the playoffs, get that center off the floor, right?
So get him off the floor. Bringing back the mid-range jumper. That's what we're doing.
You get a good one, you hold him hostage. Got it.
Got it.
That's it. Chris Jones, Kansas City. All right. When we come back, we got to get to some Twitter on the 20, more like Twitter on the 30. Great conversation. We'll be back with more of the Draft Show right after this.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Welcome back into the Draft Show presented by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on. This segment is brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. You know what else this segment is? It's time for some...
Twitter on the 20.
There you go. All right. First question comes from Mr. Vallejos on Twitter. He says, name a wild card player in the first two rounds that we may not be considering for the Dallas Cowboys. Wild card pick, not a normal name, but somebody that could maybe sneak up and be in those first two rounds.
So, can we just talk about a guy for about 12 minutes?
Somebody who could fall that they wouldn't be expecting, or somebody like maybe they like more than we're thinking about?
Let's do this, the latter. They like more than we're thinking about. Because I think the fall names have been hit pretty well. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I wonder if, in terms of a name, I feel like we've covered pretty much all the ends of this that it could possibly go, because the last several years, we've kind of been in this position of, well, not totally sure which direction they're going. They could go here. I guess it would be the one that would catch a lot of people off guard that I don't necessarily think should is, safety. Yeah. If the right safety's there in the second round for them, if for some reason Newbin falls and they have him graded higher than where he's at. Jaden Hicks at Washington State is a good football player. If Hicks is sitting there in the second round for your pick, is that a direction where they go, oh, okay, this is value that we like? Or Bullard, this is value that we like? So I would say that look at the safeties maybe. So those are some names, Tyler Newbin at Minnesota, Javon Bullard at Georgia, and then Jaden Hicks at Washington State.
They're talking about second round, right?
Could be, yeah.
First two rounds is what they said, just names.
Would you consider Powers Johnson a faller, considering now nobody has him in a mock draft?
You talking about to 56 or to the 50s?
Well, maybe to 24.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't consider it a faller to 24. I mean, I'd consider it maybe a slight slot, but I wouldn't consider that a fall to me. Like, I always thought Powers Johnson was around 20 to 25.
Aisha traded back to Buffalo at 28.
You just got me trading everybody.
You sound like a good GM over there. Listen, honestly.
But she's trading back though at 28, and you grab him there. You go out of the round. Say you go down to the Commanders.
Yeah, if you're able to get him in the second, I think that counts as a fall for him.
I don't think you could get him at 56, but no. I think you could get him now, whether it's maybe you could go to 35. You know, if you had to go that far.
I've got a couple of trade scenarios that we're hitting on the Blitz this week on the TV side. I can outline them if I want to, if we want to. 35 and 36 were two of those possibilities.
There you go.
Could you get him at 35 and 36? Would you feel good about it if you
About it then. I would absolutely feel great, and I got to pick up some picks. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, to answer the question, I think what would surprise me is if they – just said, you know what, if there was a good guard there, and they just was like, all right, we're just gonna kick Tyler to tackle and we're gonna draft a guard. I think that would be a bit shocking to me if they picked up one of these top guards. I don't even know, do y'all consider Jordan Morgan as a guard, right?
That's what I think they would consider.
And that's what I'm saying. I bet you
they think he's a guard.
Yeah. I think he projects better as a guard.
I'll tell you a guy we're not talking about is Christian Mahogany. As a player.
Boston College.
If you're looking for a guard, if you want to kick
got some ties Tyler, here now.
Tyler
got
Smith outside.
Here.
You know what? That's a legitimate player right there. That is a guy that it reminds me so much of I'll never forget this, watching his tape. They're playing Miami. They're getting crushed. They throw an interception. He makes the last tackle of the game. They're getting crushed in this game.
I watched the same game.
And he goes, it reminds me of Ron Leary when he played at Memphis. Mm-hmm. And they're getting just destroyed. And he's the best player going for them. Christian Mahogany is a really, really good player. If you start talking about the some of the top guards, I'm throwing him in.
Yeah, he has some of that temperament that you see from Talese.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you got somebody here in your building who knows the player. So,
yeah.
I mean, just spent 4 years with him. So,
Mahogany specifically,
yeah.
You remember Quinn Miners from Wisconsin, Whitewater?
Yeah.
Oh, man, he was just a mauler, just a bully.
Mean.
That's what I see with Christian Mahogany.
Yeah.
He might have been on a meh football team. He didn't play well. Or the team didn't play well against Florida State, didn't play well against Miami, but he was taken care of.
Yeah, you know, everybody's talking like BB, and maybe you're going to shift Latham and stuff like that. You know, Morgan gets shifted. But Christian Mahogany needs to be in that mix of players that we really – I know Aisha knows well, but I was starting to stack my board a little bit. I'm like, this guy's really good.
Yeah, he's a player. He's a former DT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mentality.
He talked about. Yeah, I think that does play into how he plays as well. But he like you said, he does have a coach here that has been around him for a minute, Bobby.
Steve
that
Shimko.
Might. Yeah, yep. That might vouch for him or whatever. They got some good eyes on him at the Shrine Bowl as well.
I will also point out because we always assume that. Like I will say that may also play against him. Yeah. It may not. Yeah. It may not. But
that's
I'm just saying.
Fair.
A lot of times we just see they were at the same place at the same time, and like I default to it a lot too. A lot of times you find out like I remember. Didn't funny story. Somebody told me they were talking about Lovie Smith when he was in Houston, and everybody kept projecting Kirby Joseph at Illinois to go to Houston. And I talked to somebody like that is the last place that would draft Kirby Joseph because he and Lovie Smith did not get along.
Wow.
They did, and so that's one of those things where it's like sometimes it works against you, where it may solidify they're not coming here. Other times it's like
they
it's
ran the ball pretty well. I think this coach would vouch for him myself.
Yeah, no, I imagine probably, but it is
he was a
to
part
just,
of that. Yeah.
If they weren't super interested, that also would explain it probably because they got somebody in here who's got a testimony about it.
And you brought this up earlier in the draft process, but losing Tyler Biadasz, you lose one of those glass eaters on the offensive line.
Yeah.
This would be another guy. This would be a glass eater that you could rely on and can play on the interior.
Very confident player.
Yes, he is. All right. This one comes from CME Tar Heel. Which one's more risky? And this goes back to what you just brought up.
Tar Heel player.
Any Tar Heel player. leaving Tyler Smith at guard and putting a rookie at right tackle and left tackle, or rookie right tackle at left tackle. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. Mims, I read that wrong. Guys like that, they're playing
correct,
right.
That are playing right tackle in college, but you're putting him at left tackle.
Right.
Or shifting Tyler Smith to left tackle and playing either Bass or a rookie at left guard. One's more risky?
I've seen Tyler Smith play left tackle. I've seen TJ Bass play left guard. Like, I know they can do that. So that to me is not a risk. There is a question. I mean, you know Tyler Smith can play left guard, but you'd be the biggest variable you would be projecting in that scenario is a right tackle rookie moving and playing left tackle at the NFL. That's the biggest. Everything else we have an answer on, and we've seen it, and we can say it works. We know Tyler Smith can play left guard. We've seen Tyler Smith play left tackle. We've seen TJ Bass play left guard. Those are all things we know. This the only projection there. So if you're talking about safeguarding, what is the safest thing to do? The safest of those two scenarios would be Tyler Smith at left tackle, TJ Bass at left guard.
Yeah.
To me.
And a rookie center.
Yeah. Hoffman.
Or Hoffman
maybe. Center,
I agree.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
This one comes from Michael. He says, would you sacrifice the rest of your draft to grab a third round pick, keeping your 87, but taking all four of your remaining draft picks, the two comp picks at one in the fifth, one in the sixth, your two seventh round picks? Would you sacrifice all of that to somehow find your way back into the third? And only have four picks on the weekend.
No.
I'm about to cry at the idea.
I'm trying to figure out how to pick up more picks. That's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm not trying to give up anything.
Heck no.
Look, as thin as the margins seem to be right now in terms of free agency and what you're able to do, like you're going to need all the picks you can get to fill out this roster and find players. And I think that they've done such a good job historically of finding guys on day three that I don't want to miss that.
And you're playing catch up a little bit too, because again, there's just so much uncertainty about what you're going to get from your, what's up, Nick?
You're not on. You don't have a microphone yet.
What you're going to get.
You'll figure it out along the way.
Okay, I'll wait.
No, keep going.
No. I do think also, too, you are in a weird place, and the urgency should be high because of the lack of production you got from your other class. You can't go into this draft class. You can't go into this draft.
And expect to go 4-for-4 on four picks in the first three rounds?
You can't go in there sitting on your fingers, I can tell you that. They better
I'll tell you what, if I was
on them draws,
if I was Houston Texans, I would consider something like that.
Talk about it.
If I was the Houston Texans, because they've had a really good offseason adding players.
Yeah, they're pushing chips in.
If they were going to push picks in, I'm betting that they're going to they have a guy in mind they would make him even better now.
Because you could probably muster a 80 to 85 selection if you wanted to trade those four picks to make it happen.
The problem is, like I say, we've talked about this a bunch. Aisha will tell you this too. A bunch of guys went out the door.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of guys, and now your depth. Where's your depth? You know, you're going to need every one of those fifth, sixth round picks, I think, to kind of, you know, get that taken care of. And then you're going to have the after draft where you're going to spend, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars on bonuses for some players.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point that Nick made the other day. It's just how Dallas handles, you know, post-draft and the UDFAs and how much they value that. And they're able to bring guys in. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Next Twitter on the 20 question comes from Kyle from Waco. Nick, how's your day been? Nick Waco. Harris, welcome to the show.
Thank you. About 15 minutes or so. Let's get into it.
Get into it. Well, we got to take our second break.
Oh, okay.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about some positional depth in this draft and talk about what happens whenever the talent falls off and how quickly could it fall off for the Cowboys and for the NFL draft when we come back.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer six different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie Bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show, the 2024 Dallas Cowboys Star Magazine Draft Guide has in-depth scouting reports from the top college players with more than 400 prospects included, plus breakdowns of the Cowboys' needs in each position. Look back over 10 years ago to the team's dramatic draft and the first round mock draft from Nick Harris and more. Get your copy of the 2024 NFL Draft Guide at your local pro shop or dallascowboys.com/star. Where did our copies go? Did somebody take all the magazines? Are they flying that quickly off the shelf? They're somewhere. They're somewhere in here. All right. Go get your draft guide. Go get it, dallascowboys.com/star. All right. We've got some positional resets to do. These are superlatives in the class, and I'm going to start with Nick on this one. Deepest position group in the entire class. Which one would you go with?
In the entire draft class?
One that's going to stretch into day three with legitimate talent. top to bottom.
Yeah, I think you got to look at wide receiver, right? With the talents that are at the top of the board, and then you look into day two, into day three. There's so much top end talent, but then I really feel like there's some value there on day three. We've talked about some guys earlier in the process, guy like Josh Cephas out of UTSA.
Yeah,
that's a big body type receiver that you could probably get in the sixth or seventh round, and which is kind of wild to look at and see. But you look at Jalen Coker out of Holy Cross. That's another interesting receiver that you feel like you could get. You talked about Jaquan Jackson the other day out of Tulane. He's probably earlier day three, but I mean, mm-hmm. those are the types of talents that I think you'll be able to hit on once Saturday rolls around.
Yeah, for me it will be corner. I mean, to second
wide receiver.
Yeah, man, I mean, you start looking at corner, I think some of these guys will be here, maybe like a Jerrion Jones later, Cam Hart, some of these guys. I don't think, I mean, even we, it sounds crazy, but even talking about Quantes Stickers, I think mm-hmm. he's gonna be a player, but he might be available in some of these later rounds. I think corner stretches into that fourth round, beginning of the fifth round, where you should be able to get a quality guy in there and at least give you some contribution right away, at the very least on special teams. Yeah.
Kind of on the opposite side, Bobby, what about most underrated position in the draft?
You know, it's funny. We were just talking about it a little bit because I think, you know, we were talking about frustrations. I like the running back depth outside of the first round. I do. I like some of the running. I've got a cluster of running backs like in the third round that I like, and guys that stretch into the fourth. So I think that running back typically has been one of these positions that when you can find a good one on day three, and I think that's really similar this year. It's not very top heavy at all. But if you're talking about, I think the lack of a first round pop name has had a lot of people talking down on the class overall. But I think there's good depth there, where I think you're potentially going to be grabbing guys on day three that you have a round higher graded than where you're picking them.
Who are some of those names that you had that you were talking about, that cluster of guys?
I mean, so in the third round, I've got Estime, I've got Lloyd, I've got Irving, I've got Corum, I've got Wright. I mean, I think you look at Garendo at Louisville. Yeah. And like, I mean, there's a bunch of different guys here that I'm a big fan of. The Clemson guy, I like him. There's just a good stack of running backs to me that on day two, day three, you're going to be able to find good value for. There's just a cluster of them that, you know, I think they're going to stretch a little bit. Guys that I'll have in the third round, I think are going to go in the fourth. Guys I have in the fourth, go in the fifth.
Will Shipley, by the way, Clemson.
Yes, there
you
Shipley. Go.
How did you guys feel about Kamani Vidal? Troy?
Interesting prospect. I think he's late day three, but still a guy. I mean, he's got some weaponry to him, you know. He's got some speed. He's another one of those smaller backs that you think could maybe provide a bit of a jolt. I mean, he's only 5'7".
Because that's the thing about some of these guys that are later that you were talking about, Bobby, yeah. is like you look at some of the size with some of them, and that maybe that's something that deters you because
a couple guys like that. Imani yeah. Bailey from TCU, yeah. Vital from Troy.
Jawar Jordan, Louisville.
Louisville, yeah.
Can play, yeah. but the size is something that maybe is the reason why they would be there. But to your point, though, Bobby, I do think that there are some guys that are going to be there later that can contribute.
I wish Bailey would have run better.
Imani?
Yeah. The times were not great on Bailey. That was a little disappointing. But also, like,
at the combine?
Here at the Star.
Pro Day.
Oh, yeah.
At the Big 12 combine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're that size, you got to be faster than 4.6.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, but no, I think even there's smaller guys, even in the guys we're talking about in the second, third round.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Corum's smaller,
not
you
big.
Know, Irving. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got these different guys that are, they're on the smaller end.
Ray Davis.
Yeah.
But does the power not appeal you with Bailey?
No, it does.
I feel like
does.
He's still
it's
powerful,
just,
though. He's
I mean,
not super fast.
Specifically here in Dallas, who's my, like, home run guy then right now?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, period. And that's, I mean, that's the same thing. That's, yeah. I mean, just right now you're dealing with, like, you know, you're dealing yeah. with a lot of power. There's not a lot of home run right now.
That's fair.
I think the thing with Imani Bailey, if they were to take a leap on a guy like that, they'd probably need to draft a power back earlier in the draft. Like, that would be a situation where they're comfortable going in, taking two backs in the draft, mm-hmm. and he's probably the second one that they take on day three, or if he ends up undrafted, that's an interesting guy that you would probably look at.
Okay.
Brian, what do you think about underrated positions?
You know, I'm kind of looking right now at cornerback when I start, because I know my board, I start to get down into the fourth and fifth round, there's some guys that I'd absolutely would be okay playing with. I know that I've talked about my love for King from Penn State, Abram Strain from Missouri, you know, Jackson. There's several of these guys, Melton, another one that I really, really like. I mm-hmm. feel like, though, that it's kind of, you see the top of the draft, and we'll see what happens with Wiggins. I know that Arnold Mitchell, those guys, Dijon, well, they'll probably go. Tampa, he didn't run great here out for you guys at the pro day stuff. But there's
shuttle times were good though.
Yeah,
it's, there's some stuff. Top, that, there's still top, some stuff that you can extrapolate.
The top of it is like they've got some players, and this I think this thing stretches into the third, fourth, fifth round.
I think the cornerback.
So yeah, if I had to say, okay, well, best available player, best player on my board, it might be because I know we're going to get into the draft, and it's like, okay, who do you guys got as your best player? And I have a feeling there's going to be either it's either going to be a corner on my board. It might even be an edge, might be another guy that kind of comes in. The guards we've talked about, we mentioned Mahogany and those guys, and then wide receiver. So I just have a feeling it's going to be, okay, who's your best guy on the board? It'll be one of that position group because that seems pretty thick between round 4, 5, and 6 for me.
You mentioned edge rusher. I feel like that's the same scenario of running back without that top heavy just mauler of a name. You've got Latu at the top from UCLA. You've got Jared Verse from Florida State. But neither one of those guys are the Aiden Hutchinsons, the Trayvon Walkers of the world that were just dominating draft storylines. I think it's an underrated position because you've got plenty of talented edge rushers top to bottom that can make an impact. I'm looking down at like the Murphy brothers from UCLA.
Yeah.
Those are two guys that will make an NFL team, could make an NFL roster as rookies and find their way into playing time as rookies. Mo Kamara from Colorado State is another guy you could get in the middle rounds that could be an impact player.
Have you guys looked at Caesar from Houston?
Yeah, Nelson Caesar. Fascinating talent.
Really good player.
Between him and David Oguegbo at Houston, both of those guys coming out as edge rushers. Yeah, Houston's got something going down there. If you want to factor in Jalix Hunt as a Houston Christian edge rusher, like, that's another one.
Yeah, I like me some Logan Lee, too. I like some of what I saw from him. Iowa. In from Iowa, some of the things he was able to do at the Senior Bowl, just how quick his get off is and how he can redirect people. I think he's a guy that might be there in the later rounds too, that's still interesting, that's still intriguing as a player that you might take a chance on for sure.
You know, the thing that you guys were reporting on at DallasCowboys.com are all these linebackers too. They're and maybe that position's not as deep. I mean, it's surely not as top heavy, but it maybe in the rounds 2, 3, and 4. It seems like to me, when the names that you guys report, they're hunting that position right now and trying to kind of get that in order by bringing those guys in and then stacking them the way like, okay, this guy's got this trait, this guy's got this trait. You get the interviews, you know, get the coaches with them and all that. They'll figure all this out. But that seems like a position they're hunting right now.
I agree. I don't think you can sit on your hands with the linebacker class.
Yeah, I think that's probably a position – I feel like, though, it's probably going to come down to either D tackle or linebacker that you get on day two, because the expectation, offensive line round one, you got to get the running back somewhere on day two. So that other pick, you're either going to have to spend on a D tackle or a linebacker.
He would have had a whole lot of fun in our first segment.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah. Are y'all about to tell me something I just told you? Or y'all just
no,
told
no, no.
Else?
Tell us again.
We went through that scenario,
okay,
basically.
Yeah.
If you had the extra three, say, that, then what position would you pick up if you had the extra pick?
Yeah, the other one then, the D tackle linebacker for sure.
Yeah. Weakest position in the draft class. This one's kind of tough.
One technique.
I
think
hunting
so.
Hunting noses?
Yeah. I mean, Aisha was talking about it. We just don't play that way anymore. You know, that to have the guys like Sweat and Fisk and Jackson, Mason Smith. Mason Smith was a 5-star, if I'm right, Nick, 5-star recruit, and he didn't play like a 5-star recruit. You know? I mean,
injuries hurt him quite a bit, but it's still to the point. Whenever he did get on the field, it was different than what was expected.
Yeah, he was supposed to be this highly touted type player, and he did not play that way. But I'm having a hard time right now finding me a one. I really am.
I got the guard class.
One technique's good. I don't like the tight ends.
I don't either.
Bowers is good, but I mean, you know, some people feel like Bowers is a little too small. I'm not a fan of Theo Johnson. Not a fan of Stover. Even
Bell,
like, you know,
you don't like Stover either.
So I like Jaheim Bell. I like Cade Sinat, or Ben Sinat rather. Cade Stover. Those
Wiley
are three
TCU?
Decent guys. So
the guys that I like would be like Bowers, Sinat, Jared Wiley. There's questions there, and I mean, like, I think there is it blow people, but I mean, I think there is a decent chance like the second tight end off the board is Jared Wiley.
Yeah, don't be surprised if that happens. Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's fair. I agree.
And I think in most tight end classes, that would not be the case.
But I agree with you is that we're also in this weird place with tight end to me as well, where it used to be you want guys that can block in line, they got to have a bigger body, whatever, and now. But a lot of these guys are receiver-esque, and so it takes away from their blocking and some of the things they can do. So it's, to your point, I feel the same way about a lot of DNs too. It's like some of them, they're rushing the passer, but it doesn't mean they're able to shed and tackle consistently either. It's kind of like a trickle-down effect. So when you talk about the tight end position, I agree. I feel like it's either this or that with a lot of them. Some of them have some athleticism that stands out to you, but then you're like, okay, but baby, you're getting ran over by this DN right now. So it's up and down. I do like I think Tanner McLachlan is a guy, Arizona is a guy that has a little bit of both to where you can work with him. I watched Eric All the other day, and I know his body is toe up, but as a weapon, I'm Iowa.
I'm glad you brought him up. He's dealing with that back injury. He had the surgery and stuff on that, and something you're going to completely have to deal with. But I agree. I'm glad you brought him up. Eric All, he transferred from Michigan, so that you can now about drafting a Michigan player. You don't have to worry about that. You're drafting an Iowa player.
Cancel it out.
But there's some versatility to his game. He plays like an athlete at 6'4", 252 pounds when you watch him play. You talk about the movement he gets coming off the ball. Pretty impressive there. Eric All.
It just, whenever you look at the tight end position, I'm looking at Brock Bowers up top. I like Jatavion Sanders from Texas, too. I think he's fine.
I like the upside.
There is upside there. But then it's just a bunch of guys. That's just kind of where it's at with the position. There's a significant, and you talked about it a little bit there, Nick, whenever you're saying top to bottom from Cade Stover to Jared Wiley, it could be however many picks in between. They could go anywhere in the third round on.
I will say, I think that when I say Wiley second off the board, it's because I think most teams are going to have Wiley above Sanders.
You think so?
Most, yeah.
Wow. Both of them are guys that played two ways in high school, so it's different, you know. Like, they're both raw at the position. So there's upside.
Wiley was Quentin Johnston's quarterback.
He was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think Jaheim Bell is going to rise because people are looking for Debo-esque feel, and I think he can do some of that stuff as well. So I'm like, this class is different. This tight end class is different. How does it compare to last year's to y'all?
Last year's much more top.
Much stronger. Yeah. Yeah. Lot stronger, right?
I love the top end talent in last year's class. I think once you got into late day two, early day three, though, you were kind of reaching in certain points. Yep. Like, there were a couple teams I'd hit I can't think off the top of my head, but it was the top end talent that really made the tight end class.
Well, Sam LaPorta was a big one.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're hearing guys and prospects talk about guys that they model their game after, and one of the names is Sam LaPorta. He was a rookie last year. That's how impactful that rookie class was a year
ago. But Aisha's right, too, about Bell. They hand him the ball on reverses and stuff like that. That in the open field. I mean, the guy's got some legitimate talent running with the ball, catching the ball as well.
Yes.
All right, we got to get out of here. It was good having you for the last 15 minutes.
I feel like I'm about to sing a song. Like, I'm standing over this mic. And
what would your song choice be? Go.
Nah, not gonna happen. Nah. There's a reason I don't sing.
Just sing a solo.
he would put us all to shame. For Nick Harris, for Bobby Belt, Brian Broaddus, for Aisha Morrison and Chris Beam in the back, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long. We will see you next week on The Draft Show.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys? Yeah!